Blog Talk Radio.
All right, gang, here we go. Sorry for the delay. Computer decided to reboot. Here we go. Welcome to Startup Office Hours. I'm Scott Fox. Thanks for joining us today. It's time to talk about startups, your dreams and visions for making the world a bigger, better, badder, faster, more affordable, more profitable, feed the world, sustainable place. I'm Scott Fox. I run the Startup Council. We're startupcouncil.org, and we're here to help you. The Startup Council is here to help. So I'm here today to help talk to you about how to realize your visions, how to take those crazy ideas that are in your mind and bring them out into the world, raising money, building teams, finding partners, especially finding customers, and bringing all that to life so that you can make the world a better place. So we're going to spend a couple hours, well, an hour, hour and a half here, and we'll see how many people show up. I'm going to turn on the chat room, actually. Let's turn on the chat and invite some people in to say hello. Where is that? There we go. All right. So if you are on YouTube, welcome. If you're on LinkedIn Live, welcome to you as well. We're happy to have you here. Everybody come on into the chat room. The goal of this show is to build relationships because that's really what drives business. You can sit in your room on your keyboard in the dark and think you're going to conquer the world, but you're going to have a much better chance if you get out and mingle with real people, build relationships that establish trust and stimulate your brain and theirs so that you can build relationships, networks, connections, and that can lead to partnerships, team members, improving your ideas, finding customers, and even, yes, raising money. That's what we're really going to talk about here today. This focus is on fundraising. So we're going to do a lot of startup pitch practice today, and I'm happy to take your questions and help you out here and there from around the world to see if we can advance your cause and get your startup that much closer to the finish line, or the success line, I should say. We're never finished, right? So hold on one second here. There we go. Okay, so welcome, everybody. We're going to have a bunch of people in the chat room, and if you are in the chat room, please say hello. Let us know where you're from, and we can see Stephen. Hey, Stephen, nice to see you, and Sean. And nice to see you as well. I think I know you guys are both from here in Southern California. At least I know Stephen is. So nice to see you both. And let's see who else is here. Here's Harshal. I wonder where Harshal's from. He'll probably tell us in a second here. We also, backstage, we have about 10 people waiting. So a lot of you are, I know you're going to start talking in a second. You're like, how do I get backstage? How do I get backstage? They're happy to have you. But there's only room for 10 people at a time. That's frankly all the system can handle, but it's honestly all I can handle as well. So we're going to have those 10 people back there, and they get first priority on asking their questions or practicing their pitch. And I'll give them feedback. And then people backstage, and I'm talking to Joe and Anna and Ketan and Miriam and Kay and Brian, when you're finished, hopefully you can then leave the chat room and then go watch on the public stream over on YouTube or on LinkedIn Live or on Facebook or where else we Blog Talk Radio, all over the web basically. So, hey, speaking of that, if you're watching this and this kind of thing strikes you as helpful, maybe it's your first time here, you're not real sure yet. So you can wait, but if you do like this, if it's helpful to you, maybe you've been here before, can you please like and subscribe, visit the YouTube channel especially, or on LinkedIn, make a comment. Those are, you know, that's what drives the algorithms and helps us support our mission. I do this for free. The Startup Council is a volunteer effort that I put together to try to help folks like you. So if you're here today, please support our work with some likes and comments and so forth, because that's what drives the whole machine, as you well know. So who am I? I'm Scott Fox, if you don't know me. I'm a serial internet entrepreneur. I've been building internet companies for 25 plus years now. I got started with that when I was in graduate school at Stanford back in the good old days when internet companies were a new thing, and I've been doing it ever since. These days, I'm mostly an angel investor, and I spend most of my time giving back to the community by trying to help early-stage founders all over the world. I have a special sympathy and affection for first-time founders, immigrant founders, female founders, and anyone who's underrepresented or, frankly, underappreciated. I mean, any good entrepreneur feels underappreciated, but the fact is most of us, some of us are more underappreciated than others, right? So this is a feel-good effort trying to help you guys find each other, and I'm just here to facilitate. So please, go ahead. Use the chat room. Tell each other who you are. Put in your LinkedIn profile link or your website. Go ahead and promote your company. Don't get spammy. We'll have to knock you out. But just be helpful, right? I don't have all the answers. I'm just a facilitator. The answers I do have are actually in these books over here. So these three in the middle are in English, as you can see. Click Millionaires being the most recent one, and the others are foreign translations. So there we have, let's see, that's Japanese and Turkish and Russian and Polish above that and Vietnamese down there. So if you're, if I'm talking too fast, my English is too quick for you, I apologize. Maybe my books will help you in another language as well. And of course, they're all available on YouTube and so forth. And I donate the profits from that to charity. I'm not trying to make money off the books. I'm trying to help people. So here we go. Let's see. Now, let's just say hi to everybody in the chat room, and then we're going to get going with the backstage folks to get started. And I can see Kitan and Anna and Joe and Ju. Yeah, Miriam will be here in a minute. And let me just say hi to the folks out in the public chat room because we've got a bunch of people here. Now, they rearranged the UI here once again. I don't know why they think they're so clever in changing things. No, that's not what I want. Give me one sec here, guys. I want to appreciate you all for being here. How do I? No. What is all this nonsense? Okay. Well, I can't get at the chat room. That's real helpful. So, well, let me do a sound check real quick also. I presume you guys can hear me. Backstage folks, can you give me a thumbs up? Like Miriam or Zhao? Yeah, you're nodding? Okay. Thank you, Sean. Yep. Thank you, Anna. Okay. All right. I'm coming your way in a second. I just wanted to, there it is. Okay, hide it. Okay, so let's just say hi to those folks who are got here early and welcome them to the chat. Come on now. There we go. Okay, so we got Tame Mahfood and Steven. Hey, Steven, nice to see you. Basil, hey, Basil, nice to see you as well. Basil, I think you say Basil, don't you? And let's see, who else we got here? Sean and Yuma from Estonia. Nice. You maybe get the award for farthest away. Who can beat Yuma from Tallinn in Estonia? I bet there's somebody even farther, but let's see. And then Rohit and Paris, who's not from Paris, but from Portland. David, who's also in Irvine. Jamie from NYC. Scott is, well, that's me. I'm Scott. And Banwan is in Amsterdam. That's pretty far. Laszlo from L.A., Johnny from Anaheim, another L.A., that's Mike. Warwick, Rhode Island, Paul, right? So that's pretty far if you're still in the continental United States anyway, because I'm here in Southern California, those who don't know. And there's Larry. Hey, Larry from Costa Mesa. Andre, you made it back to D.C. Excellent. Andre is a guy who comes to a lot of these programs, and he showed up at a conference I was hosting. We had a tech week, Irvine Tech Week here in Southern California a month or so ago, and he showed up in person. It was so surprising and nice to see him. And then I know he's been driving back, so it looks like you made it home. Congratulations. It was great to meet you in person. There's Rick from San Luis Obispo. Daniel is a music industry startup. Harshal's from India. Okay, so I don't know from where I am. Is Estonia farther or India? Not sure. And then Basil, Stephen, Tommy, and another from Holland, Super Hasman. Excellent. All right. Well, nice to see you all. And of course, you can use that chat room. That's for you. I can't keep up with it quite, but you're welcome to talk to each other. And Basil's got the right idea. He's posting his LinkedIn there. You can, and Stephen as well. Of course, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm easy. And while mentioning that, please do go and like and follow us on LinkedIn. That's part of, the services we provide. You'll get a lot of updates if you follow us on LinkedIn because we post a lot of stuff there. And in fact, let me do two quick commercials, then we're going to go backstage. So the Startup Council is a free community service organization. We have seven different newsletters, seven, that you can use to learn more about building startups, finding investors, all the things that you need. We have events, calendars, places you can list your startup, places you can find investors, et cetera, et cetera. So there's seven different newsletters, and all those newsletters are free. So I would go and visit that. I'm building it for you, again, trying to help. So that is a good idea. Our sponsor today is the National Startup Directory. This is a service that I built, again, for you, because I didn't see a centralized place where startups can list themselves. And why would you want to do this? So that investors can find you. We investors, frankly, we're kind of lazy, or at least we're busy, right? And it's hard to find good deals. So if we put them all in one place, I'm thinking that maybe that will make it easier for you guys to have investors find you. So this is, it's a test like everything else, but we've got some good listings there. And here's the, that's the business card I hand out if you meet me in person. That's the graphic. It's not focusing very well there. NationalStartupsDirectory.com is what I'm trying to show you. There we go. And you can go there, and there's a code on the screen, SOHS viewer, and you'll get a free listing. I think it's a year for free, right? So just go ahead, put your listing up there, and you can share as little as you want or as much as you want, all the way up to including your financials and investor deck. The more you share, the more likely investors are going to find you and appreciate what you're doing. But of course, it's up to you, and don't say anything confidential or stupid. All right. And speaking of that, I do have to say one more disclaimer, and we'll get on with the show. And that is this, which is this is not legal or financial advice. This is just for fun. Oh, I'm trying to put this on the screen. There we go. This is not qualified legal or financial advice. I have a law degree and a financial background, but you are not my client. This is just some guy you met on the internet trying to help you for free. So if you have real issues, and I know we all have issues, please find your own qualified legal tax and accounting and chiropractors and everybody else that you need to get going. Also, this show is being shared worldwide and is recorded and archived online worldwide. So again, don't say anything too confidential. We're here to help. This is all in good faith and here to help you have fun and build your company. And one last pitch there. Go ahead and comment on LinkedIn and YouTube, and that will drive our algorithms and help us reach more people. And please do invite your friends to join us. We're live right now, as you can tell. So if you have friends that are interested in this kind of thing, please tell them that we're here and we're getting to work. All right. So now, enough preamble. Let's go over here and let's bring on all our friends. And here, so here's what we're going to do right now, guys, is I'm going to invite you all on camera, the 8 or 10 of you that are backstage. And we want you to, we're just kind of a quick conversation about what it is you want to talk about. Okay. And I just need a quick version so that I can figure out what order to take this in. All right. And we're going to do some pitches and take some strategy questions, and especially around fundraising. I do this because I don't find very many investors who explain what we do. And I'm trying to be helpful and explain to you from my point of view. I mean, it's my lunchtime, right? Here's what we do and here's how we think, because it's not the way that I guess normal people think. We have a particular way of looking at the world that will help you raise money if I share it with you. So startup fundraising questions and pitches. Okay, so let's bring our friends on. Who do we have backstage? We have Ketan and Anna and Joe and Jay. Yeah, if you want to come on, turn on your camera, please. And Sean and, okay, that one's loud. Who was that? It's not Miriam. Is it Jia? Somebody's, we're going to have to mute you guys. Yeah, there, thank you. Somebody muted. Okay, Sean and Kay. And who else? Yes, turned his camera on. Cool. And Joe as well. Okay, so who do we think? Well, first of all, give me a wave. Hi, guys. Nice to meet you guys. Happy to have you here. We'll do our best to have some fun today. Somebody's kind of loud, though, so just give me a sec here. Not you. Joe? No. Are you all muted? Somebody, please mute yourself. That's easier than me doing it, wasting everybody's time. Not there. Sean. Sorry, Sean, you need to mute or do something, or we're going to have to ask you to leave. Okay, Sean? Yeah. All right, you're working on it? Okay, I'm going to mute you for now. And okay, so here's our friends for today, a nice group of people. So let's just go around. I'd like to just go around each of you and just give me the 10-second version. I have a question about finding angel investors, or I want to pitch. Just give me that, and I'm going to take notes, and then we'll work it out. And I'll come back to all of you because you guys are here. Thank you for coming early and finding the link and following. I know there's a lot of instructions. I do this by myself, so right, it's you're helping me, and I appreciate it. So let's just go. We'll start with I'm just going to go in the order we have on the screen here. So who is this? Sorry, I don't know all your names. It's great to have some new faces here. It looks like that would be Joe. Hey, Joe, do you want to unmute and just give me the quick version of where you're from and what do you want to talk about today?
Hey, I'm from Orange County, California. Oh,
great.
And I'm here to talk about venture studios and the like, which models you prefer or are available in the area to kind of go ahead and five people to work with and build. So yeah, I know there's venture studios, accelerators, incubators, yep. co-founders, so
great topic. Yeah,
chatting about those.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Joe. All right, we'll come back to Joe. And next up, it looks like on my screen looks like is Gia. Hi, Gia.
Thanks, Scott. I have a question in terms of how to choose a location to raise funds for our business. We currently received a few funds in the UK, but our customers and one of our co-founders are mainly in China. And we are hoping to ask that, what factors should we consider for the next round?
That is a great question. I don't think anybody's asked me that before, but that's something investors worry about a lot. So I'm glad you're here. Yes, we'll definitely cover that. Where are you, though? Are you in the UK or are you in China today?
Yes.
UK?
UK. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, nice to meet you. Okay. Dr. K, looks like you're up next. How are you? Looks like you need to unmute, though. Unmute, please. No? Oh, you can't. Okay, you're just listening. Okay. All right. He's just an observer today, looks like. All right. Let's try Sean. Sean, if you unmute, how are we doing? Well, I've got you muted. Hold on a second. Okay. Try again. No. Sean? Oh, there we go. There we go.
Cool. Hey, I'm from San Francisco Bay Area. I'm the founder of Unlock Investment. I'm here to do a practice switch.
Great. Okay. You've got to do something about your, there's a lot of feedback. So go ahead and mute yourself. You're an adult. You can figure it out probably, but you need to change your microphone or something. It sounds like it's picking up the whole room, right? So maybe if you have an actual microphone, that would probably be better. Okay. But we'll come back to you, Sean. Nice to see you and happy to have you pitch. Okay. And then next is, who's this? Miriam. Hi, Miriam. Nice to see you.
Hi, Scott. Hi, everyone. I'm Maya Messina. I'm CEO and founder of Globally. And Globally is an AI-powered immigration platform that revolutionizes the complex world of immigration by offering personalized visa options globally and connecting individuals with lawyers and job opportunities.
Okay, hold on.
I'm here to learn.
Yeah. What's your question? Do you have a question or do you want a pitch? Or?
Not for today, but next time for sure.
Okay. Then that's awesome. Happy to have you here. But can you leave here and go over to youtube.com and watch on YouTube? Because other people are going to want to come in here and use the pitch. Happy to have you. This is for the people who want to talk. Awesome. All right. Thank you. Nice to meet you. I'd love to hear more about your startup. Please come back again. All right. Next. And thank you for moving on. Let's see. Oh, look at that. There's another. All right, who's next then? Nice to see that. Let's try that. And then who did I miss? This looks like Anna. Anna, hi. You want to unmute and tell us, tell me what your question is.
Hi, hello. My name is Anna. I'm coming from Serbia.
Excellent.
So it's 9.
You're cutting out. I got that you're in Serbia, which is super cool, and it's about 9. I think you're probably saying it's 9 at night there, so thanks for staying up, but I lost the rest of it. Are other people hearing her? I'm not. No. Okay, Anna, sorry. I'm not sure.
Now?
Oh,
can you
there.
Hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead.
Good. I would like to pitch my idea.
Oh, okay.
To practice. And I have a general question about the fundraising concept, how that goes. Because now when I have the idea, now I learn about business angels, venture capitalists, and there are different kinds of investments, and that's a new field for me.
Sure.
I don't have an idea, but I'm just not sure how to raise the money, and I would like to practice my pitch.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully we can do both of those, given the time available. And then we have my friend Kitan is here as well, right? Go ahead. How are you?
Yes, well, first of all, thank you for the invitation. So, everyone, this is Kitan, and I'm the founder of Hamilo AI. And here we have my managing director.
I'm Nishan. I'm the managing director of EOAI. Together, we are revolutionizing education by offering a platform that connects learners, educators, and students. We are leveraging the powers of internet, data science, generative AI to address existing problems in e-learning.
And we are here for the investment pitch.
Pitch. Okay. That's what I needed. Okay. Pitch. All right. And where are you guys today? You're in India, right?
Yeah, we are from Bangalore, India.
Bangalore, okay.
The startup of the world, the next startup of the world.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, India. I was speaking on Saturday at an Indian event here. It's a big charity called SMAP. It was a celebration of, well, anyway, it was a bunch of folks from Shiv Raiva Bishek's anniversary, the founder of the king of Mumbai from 350 years ago, something like that. The name was so long I couldn't pronounce it, but it's a wonderful bunch of people and such exciting things going on in India.
We really love your program, so we keep inviting a lot of people to join your program.
Excellent, thank you. Well, I'm going to be in India in December for sure, probably in Bangalore, actually. So, yeah, let's keep talking. Great to have you here. Okay, did I get every? Hold on, let me rearrange things. I can't see everybody. Oh, there's another. Sorry. So many toys on here. You need to get distracted. What is this one? There we go. Okay. So I'm missing this gentleman in the cap. Ciao.
Hi, this is Theo Silicon. I'm here to pitch.
Okay. Wow, that was concise. Thank you. Where are you today, Ciao?
I'm in LA.
In LA. Okay, cool. All right. Well, thank you all. So that's what I needed. So let me just take a minute here. I'm going to turn you guys off again, and then we'll come back one at a time as we figure out how to make our show happen. So we've got a couple pitches and a couple questions, and let's see. Excellent. Looks like you guys are working the chat room. Okay, Kay, you want to come back in? I see you there. Okay, and you want to pitch. Okay, got it. I see that in the chat. All right, so we've got one pitch, two pitch, four pitches. Okay, four pitches and a couple questions. Oh, Sean was a pitch too, I think. Yeah, well, a lot of pitches today. Okay, Venture Studios. Okay, so well, let's get on with some pitches, and then we'll come with the couple questions as well. We'll kind of mix it up back and forth. And here's how the pitches work. So the pitches are 2 minutes or less. It doesn't have to be 2 minutes. A minute is better, right? But the idea is it's an artificial length of time. But the idea is that you need to practice saying what you need to say very quickly, because investors, we're always in a hurry, right? And there's always, if you meet us privately, we're in a hurry. If you meet us publicly, there's often a line of people that want to talk to us, right? So we don't have time to have lengthy conversations. And I see this all the time, and I feel so bad for the founders, because this is a big moment for them, and yet they want to do this long introduction. It's like, sorry, I do this all day, every day. Tell me what you do, why it matters right now, and what you need. And then we can decide if there's more to talk about. I can't stand around for the whole story. And I know it's a good story. I'm sure it's your life, right? I'm not trying to minimize that. But for somebody who sees dozens or hundreds of these every week or month, I mean, I've seen thousands in my career, I just need to know real quick, just so I have any idea of what you're talking about, right? Because if you're an AI investor, you've got an AI company, but I'm a med tech investor, then I'm that's great, but you know, I can't really help you, right? So let's both move on, right? So anyway, so this is a 2-minute pitch, no slides, just trying to give you a chance to, you know, kind of test it out and see what it feels like to talk in front of a group. And then I'm happy to offer some feedback. And please also, all of you in the chat room, I know everybody here, you know, there's a lot more expertise than just here. Everybody worldwide, you have a lot of good comments and insights, and you're professional people who've probably seen and heard a lot of pitches as well. So please contribute also in the chat room your feedback on these things. All right. So let's go. I guess who was first or last? Jiao, sounded like you were ready to go. Would that be okay? Let's bring Jiao on. I know I'm not sure I'm saying your name correct, and I apologize.
Yeah,
for that.
That's right.
Pretty close. Okay. Cool. All right. So those rules sound about right. 2 minutes or less, and just kind of let it rip, and then we'll offer you some feedback. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. I'm John, CEO of Cynical. I'm making your data virtually leak-proof, breach-proof, and theft-proof. Unlike other data sharing tools that rely on username and passwords on cloud servers throughout all your data, our product eliminates both logins and server middlemen. So with us, there's no server layover for your data, no other computers making copies. Everything goes directly to the other user like magic. Today, data breaches are unavoidable and put users at professional risk with zero control over their choice of server providers and security behind it. But with us, your data stays yours, and data security and privacy becomes accessible to everyone, not just the extremely tech-savvy person. So you can take aside the crazy password requirements, multiple authentication emails. We're going to protect your data without the complicated mess of self-hosting your own server and or keeping a secret book of all of your passwords.
The end?
Yeah.
That was excellent. So I'll give you some feedback. Do you have an ask? That's the one thing. Are you raising money? Are you just practicing? What are you looking for?
Got it. Okay, yes, we are raising money. We're in pre-seed funding.
Okay. Do you want to give any indication? You don't have to. This is your opportunity. Really. This is practice, right? Would you say something like we're raising $500,000 at a $3 million valuation? Or would you say, you know, what? I don't know what you'd say. You have anything specific you'd add?
Let's see. For us, we're raising below 500K for pre-seed funding.
Yeah, okay. So that's a great start. So that was, everybody, that's how it's done. Nice job, Dow. You set the bar pretty high. So what I would say is, well, the first one is the ask. So two things. One, anybody who's here pitching is smart because you want to take every opportunity to pitch. You never know who's listening, right? And it gives you a chance to practice. So I was at a conference a month or two ago at a local community college, and I was one of the pitch judges. And as they were getting ready for things to get going, the host, the MC, said, "Who wants to pitch?" And the people who were going to pitch were all so nervous. They, you know, they were busy, but the audience was full of other founders, and nobody raised their hand. So guess who pitched? Me. I got 300 people here. I got something to say. What am I going to say? So I told them about the services the Startup Council provides. And that wasn't what they were expecting. But whenever there's a microphone, just as Zhao's doing, grab it. That's your job, man. You're in sales, whether you like it or not. If you're a founder, you're in sales. So this is positive reinforcement, Zhao. Nice job. Okay, so very nice pitch. It was concise. You spoke clearly and slowly, but not too slowly. That's nice. Anybody, you know, you have an accent that to my ears is very clear. Anyone who's pitching American dudes like me and has an accent that is different than mine, be sure you slow down because it may not be as clear to us as it is to you, but Zhao doesn't have that problem because we both have that kind of West Coast American sort of inflection. So now more specifics. And actually, that was one of the things you did best, I think. You had a lot of specifics, but you didn't give away the secret sauce. So it was very nicely done. I'm serious. You said a lot of specific things about, getting rid of passwords and layers of encryption and the servers this and that. And then you even had a fun anecdote where you can get rid of the little book of all your passwords, right? Those specifics are really good because I can envision it. And yet you didn't tell me exactly how it was done. So it's frustrating to me, but that's a good way. It's like, I want to know more. Like, well, who are you? Like, why are you so good at this? Are you, you have a PhD from MIT in cryptography or, who is this guy? And, how's he going to do this? And you didn't really say much about how it actually works. So usually engineers, and I don't know if you're an engineer or not, but I'm guessing you at least have some engineering background with what you pitched. Usually engineers want to tell everybody all about how it works without telling us why. And you did the opposite, which is actually really rare and really good. You told us why and left me wondering what the what was. That's really rare and really good. So, seriously, that was really good. The other thing you did that I think everybody else should emulate is you had an opening line. I don't know if you have it written down, but you had an opening sentence that said kind of quickly what you were going to talk about. We're a company that does, I can't repeat it. I tried to write it down, but it was, we're a company that does this, this, and this. That's really helpful because a lot of people tell a story. They kind of say A and B plus C, and therefore we do D. But I don't know what you're doing until you get to D, so it's really hard for me to know if I'm interested or not. And like I said, investors are impatient. So if you lay the table first, say, we are an ice cream company, and we specialize in chocolate ice cream cones. Got it. Now you can unpack it, right? And you give me that line again. You said something. Do you remember what it was? It was a nice opening line.
I think it was, we're making your data virtually leak-proof, dish-proof, and theft-proof.
Great. So see, guys, that's like it's 8 or 10 words. So I know it's about data and it's about security. That tells me immediately, okay, at least I know where he's going. Because we see so many pitches. I don't know if he's, when you start, if you don't tell me, I don't know if you have a food tech company or aerospace or AI or it's some kind of new heart valve replacement. We don't know. So an opening line like that is really good. So basically, I don't have anything to complain about, except that you should work on the, like I said, always have an ask. And it doesn't have to be financial. You don't have to be ready, especially if you're not ready to give specific numbers. You could say, like you did, we're opening a pre-seed round. That gives you an idea. It's, probably 50 to 500,000 or something like that. That's probably close enough if you don't want to be more specific. But even if you're not raising money, and this is why I brought up the example of me at that conference recently, even if you're not raising money, if there's an audience, ask for something. Your phone, say, well, you know, I'm looking for a co-founder. I need a marketing person. You know, I need office space. You know, does anybody know how I can lower the interest rate on my credit cards? I mean, whatever, right? Because founders have the same problems all over the world. And the other founders will want to help. And the investors and mentors in the room, well, they're there to help too. So unless you tell people what you want, then you're pitching kind of for nothing, right? And that is the only mistake you made. And this is obviously it's not something you've done a ton of, right? But you did a great job. So just add and ask, and I think you'll be in good shape. So very impressive. Let's look at the chat room, see what our friends in the chat room say. They think, let's scroll back here. Great info. Slower the pitch rate a little. Okay, slow down. Yep. We solve the problem by XYZ. It would be great to learn about XYZ. How is it different from Bitwarden, for example? This is Andre, the guy from DC. I was talking about those are good insights, and he knows a bit about this stuff, so those are good. Is there enough time to add traction points? That's a great one. David chimes in. Traction points meaning what have you done to date? And that's always interesting to investors, especially if you have something significant that you've achieved, you want to work that in. And again, this is an artificial length of time. So if you had 10 minutes, you'd obviously have room for a lot more, right? And you did this quickly. So, but if there's something that you've done well, don't save it for later. I see that a lot. People will give like, even like a 12-minute pitch. And at the end, they'll say, oh, and we have 14 patents and we're FDA approved. Like, what? That changes the whole trajectory of the conversation. So don't hide the bonuses. Okay, anybody else? I think that's all we got so far. And more numbers. That's a good point. Yes, that's a good one too. Yeah, numbers. Investors eat numbers. That's one of my catchphrases. So if you have any numbers that you can add next time, and that also goes to David's traction point. Whatever it is, you know, we've signed up 14 customers or we have a mailing list of 50,000 or anything like that. Just helps people demonstrate the idea that someone is interested other than you. And that's important, right? We see a lot of founders who may be brilliant, but it's mostly in their own minds. And until customers or team members, especially customers, have proven that they're interested also, it's kind of just theory. And investors don't invest in theories anymore. All right, so big round of applause for Zhao. Nice to meet you, Zhao. Hope to see you again. Please tell your friends, and that was great. Looking forward to hearing more about that one from Cynical with his company. Go ahead and post if you want. Post in the chat room, Zhao, about the name of your company and if people want to reach out to you and so forth. All right, so that was pretty good. Huh? That was a good start. We're off to a good start today. One down. So let's do another, and then we'll do some questions. I'm going to go to Ketan and was it Nishan, I think? I didn't quite catch your managing director's name there. But hey, guys, I know it's late where you are, right? Well, what time is it where you are?
It's almost 1:30.
In the morning, right? Okay, don't forget that part. So these guys are up in the middle of the night. So let's let them go first, or second, I should say. And let's hear a little bit about your pitch. So you got the vibe, a couple minutes or so. Let us know, and then we'll all try to give you some feedback. All right?
Hi, everyone. This is Ketan, and I'm the founder of EOI. I come with sales and marketing by law.
I'm Nishan. I'm the managing director of the company, and I'm handling the operations.
So we are here to solve the biggest problem for the educators, as well as the students, as well as the hiring partners. So hiring partners doesn't get the good recruitment. Students want to learn for free, but don't have enough funds. And mentors, they want to educate the students, but don't really have the platform to do that.
That's the reason we have created an e-learning platform wherein we can connect learners, educators, as well as tutors. So we are providing personalized learning resources for the students, almost at a free cost, as well as we are helping them keep up with their productivity. And we are providing data-driven decisions for the educators to improve their education, as well as a scalable source of revenue for them. And then we are providing eligible candidates along with their performance dashboards to the recruiters, helping them save their valuable time as well as efforts.
So this was our pitch. We definitely want to pitch more, but as the time comes in. And our ask is, it's $100,000 for 5% of the company. We are a bootstrap company. We have arranged the funds on around till the moment. We have 80 prospects who are willing to buy and we are seed. And definitely we have data of work, data of 25,000 leads. And we have a distribution network of 300,000 on Instagram and 20,000 on LinkedIn, which is around 500,000 distribution network. And I work in a similar domain where we have a conversion ratio of 8 to 12%. So it's going to be pretty wide communities.
And we have collaborated with around 600 colleges across India.
Excellent. You finished?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. That was interesting. And it got more and more interesting once you started giving me the numbers. So my initial, so first of all, good job, everybody. We can't, in person, we always give everybody a round of applause, but here it's just virtual. So that's all you get, but nice job. Very interesting. Okay. So investors, at least investors in the United States, we're very tired of ed tech startups. Anything with students and educational institutions scares me, but here's why. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It just means that so many people have tried this and died or lost their money that it's, at least for me and the people I know, as soon as you say something like what you're talking, I'm like, oh, no, not another one. So the numbers that you have, put those up front, right? Tell us this is actually happening. This isn't an idea. That traction demonstrates that you're actually doing something. I think you said you had 600 colleges and an 8 to 12% conversion rate. Like those are numbers like I'm an investor, right? I'm doing spreadsheets in my head immediately, right? So 600 colleges, average enrollment of a couple thousand, 8 or 12, so call it 10% conversion. Okay, excuse me, I'm doing numbers in my head as you're talking, trying to figure out how big this business could be. So that's really important, especially, this is true for everybody, frankly, but especially in ed tech, because as you guys probably know, there have been several waves of ed tech, just like with crypto, right? It's really hot and then it dies, and it's really hot and then it dies. So if you are the new version of ed tech and this kind of hiring, and HR too, right? You're kind of in between, it sounds like ed tech and human resources. There have been waves of that. So you need to immediately break the pattern for me as an investor. So this is different. So part of what I would recommend is something about why now, because again, where are we on the cycle and why you nicely worked in your background and some traction. So then the next question is why now and what's different about you, because there's so many competitors. I'm giving you more critique than positive, because it was very good. I'm trying to help. So also interesting, just smaller comments, and everybody in the chat room, go in, we'll come back and share those as well. It's unusual to have two people pitch. Most investors will say, don't do that because it's confusing. I love it. I think it's better. But you should just know, if you present, like one of the angel groups I'm involved in is called Tech Coast Angels. It's the biggest angel group, I think, in America these days. People come and do what you did, and everybody complains. I don't know I think it's great because it shows that you have more than one person and that you work well together, right? I can understand how you fit, but you should just know some people will complain about that and give, you know, knock down your score or whatever, right? So that's a choice that you have to make. I like it. Second, he's the managing director. That I don't know what that means. So if he's a founder, say he's a founder, or a co-founder, or you're the founder, or you're the CEO. At least in the United States, the phrase is CEO. The CEO and founder and then co-founders. Managing director is an important title, but it's not specific as to what the responsibilities are. So I honestly don't know I don't know who's the boss here. Is the managing director higher or lower than the other person? I don't know. So just you should be specific, and whatever's comfortable with you guys is fine, but that part is confusing to investors if you use terms that are not clear. Usually a term has a C, you know, I'm chief executive officer or chief technical officer, or I'm in charge of marketing and the other guy is CEO, then it's clear to me. So just a little thing culturally that might be helpful. Something you didn't say was whether the company is in the U.S. base or not. Investors, and this goes to Gia's question later about how to set up a company to raise money. Is the company is it an Indian company or is it a U.S. company?
It's Indian.
Indian company, okay. So you should say that because you're raising in U.S. dollars, right? If you'd been raising in rupees, then that would have been more obvious to me. But if you're raising, and that's fine, just say it so I know. As an investor, I really can't invest in Indian companies, not because I don't want to, but the tax laws are so different in the United States that even if I made $1 zillion in India, I couldn't really get it back. So you just need to be careful about who you're talking to and be clear about what you're
doing. Actually, the thing is, Nishant is coming to you very soon.
Ah, okay. That's a type of corporation that's based in Delaware, the U.S. state of Delaware. So you're going to want to create a C Corp in Delaware, and then Americans could be interested in investing. Okay, so that was really good. Just looking what else. Yeah, that's probably enough. Just be careful about talking too fast, again, because your accent is a little different than mine. You can slow it down for me. But I know it's you're nervous, right? So just be careful. Practice makes better. So really nice to see you guys. Thanks for staying up late. I hope that was useful. Oh, sorry, we're going to look at the chat room as well. Let's just see if anybody else has. I bet you they liked it because I thought it was pretty good. Let's see what other people say. This is Andre saying what I was saying here. Most of the time when it's a group, it's distracting, but you rehearsed it, so it sounded great. Shows that you work well as a team. So, yeah, that's kind of what I think. But like I said, a lot of people complain about, I don't know why. The investors, like, they can't listen to two people at once. It's like, you do that on TV all the time. I don't know what the problem is. Let's see. Share my LinkedIn. Okay, slow down a little. It will help. That's good. As a school leader, we're currently looking for ed tech. The demand is there. Okay, sounds like you should find this person, the St. Bonaventure Academy. Maybe you want to talk to them. A good mic, a better microphone is a good idea. Quite impressive. Attention grabbing and informative. Very nice. All right, great pitch. Lots of numbers. Okay, good. Yep, amazing. All right, well, I think the reviews are good. Worth staying up late. All right. Nice to see you guys. Let's do that. We'll do it again soon. And I'm going to let you go. But thank you for being here. And thanks for staying up late.
And
thanks for all your support on LinkedIn as well. Katana is one of the people who regularly likes and appreciates what I'm doing on LinkedIn. So I appreciate that. It does make a difference. Those likes and comments, you know, they add up. So everybody else, that's a good prompt. If you don't mind, click, like, subscribe, follow, whatever platform you're on. We'd really appreciate it so that more people, we can reach more people and help more people like this. Okay, so that was Katana and Sean. All right, let's do a question just to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to try and bring in, let's see, a couple questions. We only had a couple questions so far. Were Gia and Joe. Well, let's bring Anna. Anna, are you still here? Let's just get your general question. I'll try to do a What's kind of your general question? Because you're kind of new to this, I guess.
General question is how to fundraise the money, how to raise the money. If you're in an early stage of development,
mm-hmm.
and you are in an early stage of creating your company, you have a good idea, great idea. You have the pitch deck, speech deck, everything, but I don't know, should I ask for the exact amount of money I need
mm-hmm.
to create? Or should I ask a little bit more? Because I think that if I go back and ask for more money, then the investors will not be willing to invest more money if
yeah.
I make wrong assumptions. Because basically what I'm doing in the startup pitch, I'm just doing the projection, financial
yeah.
projection. I can guarantee those.
That's right. Yeah, no. Yeah, you're on the right track, and it sounds like you're thinking about the variables correctly. You have to make some assumptions, not because they're good, but because without it, we don't have anything, right? So you got to start somewhere. And investors should understand if their startup. I guess here's a threshold issue: is if you're talking to traditional investors like a bank, you know, like they're going to want real financials so that they can count on repayment of a loan because that's their model. That's different. If you're talking to somebody like me or angel investors or early stage venture capital investors, we know the financials are made up. But what we need to see is that you are thinking about the business in an intelligent way and you understand where the money comes in, where it goes out, you know, and at what rate things change so that you can model it a bit. And of course, yeah, compounded assumptions on top of assumptions, it's all just, it's BS, right? It's not real numbers. But if you don't do that, we have nothing, and then we don't believe you, right? So, yeah, so that's a good place to start. And you mentioned a pitch deck. Yeah, so if you have a deck and some numbers, like we used to do like 25-page business plans and 5 years of projections, and these days it's mostly a pitch deck of 10 to 15 slides that might take you 10 minutes to run through, and maybe as an appendix, maybe one of those slides is some projections, and hopefully, you know, a graph that goes up. And then maybe as an appendix, you might have some actual projections. But at the earliest stages, it's really about finding people that buy your vision. And all of that is kind of a reinforcement that they like you, they like what you're doing, they believe the story that you're telling, and the rest is more justification for, frankly, for the emotional bond that you create. It's about a relationship, and that relationship is based on their projection, I guess, of you doing what you say you're going to do. Is that helpful?
Yes, as one venture capitalist told me, you need to find a person, a family friend or something that loves you too much to invest. I said, no, I don't have a friend that has that amount of money, so yeah. I need to be good enough to pitch to the investor, early stage investor, I don't know.
Yeah.
So now I can pitch the idea.
Yeah. That's correct. The thing you should be aware of, though, is almost nobody invests on just ideas anymore. There has to be some level of traction. And traction is venture capital speak for some demonstration of progress. And by progress, I mean growth outside of just you working on things, like you building a website, you writing the code, you making the logo, whatever, you getting an office. That's not traction. That's you keeping busy. Traction is somebody other than you saying, oh, I like it. I want to join your team. I want to click on this ad. I want to download your white paper. I want to be a customer. And customers, of course, are the best traction. So until you have some indication of traction, I don't think anybody's going to invest. Sorry, that's just kind of how it is these days. So you need to, and maybe you have, we don't have time to get into all this, and I'm sorry, but actually anybody that, if you guys really do want to work with me perfectly, personally, I don't have much time to do this, so I have to charge money for it, but there's a page. Sorry, Anna, hold on. Let me just put this up. If you want to work with me directly, there's a page. Where's this page? Come on. Here. Well, that'll do the job. These are two websites. One is I will review people's pitch decks and make a video for you, and the other is you can actually book a call with me if you want, but they cost several hundred dollars each just because that's how I manage my time. So if that's helpful to anybody and you have the money, fine, happy to help. I just can't help everybody all the time for free. Okay, so what I was saying is if you can demonstrate some kind of traction, then people are going to take you a lot more seriously. So that is what I would be focused on. Even if your product isn't fully finished yet, try to demonstrate that somebody other than you thinks it's a good idea. And that's when you can start to make a little momentum. And I really understand and I sympathize. My first company, I didn't have any friends or family that had any money either, right? It's really hard, and that's kind of why I do this. That's why I wrote these books, honestly, because people with money assume that everybody has money, and they don't, right? But you have to start somewhere, and that's why most companies start with friends and family, because those people already know you and love you and trust you, even if they don't really understand what you're doing, even if they have $1,000 or $50,000, whatever it is, you know. That's usually how companies start, that and credit cards, right? Or your own savings, of course. And what you need to do is come up with a plan for whatever resources you do have. If it's $100 or it's $1,000 or $100,000, and match that money up with some milestones. Milestones meaning what can you accomplish that demonstrates traction to other investors? So let's just say you have $10,000. Hopefully you can find that and then think about it like, okay, maybe I have 10 things I could do for $1,000 each. What are those 10 things that will show to other people most efficiently that this is something more than just my idea? What is the traction you can demonstrate? And if it's $1,000, meaning smaller, fine. If it's $100,000, great. The milestones can be bigger and more impressive, right? But demonstrating that traction is what you need to do as a founder. And then the investors will be more receptive because they can see that you're making progress. So, I don't know, is that helpful? Yeah, I hope that's helpful.
Yes, please, yes. And I have some traction, so
oh, good.
That's, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's a good general question. Hopefully that's helpful to everybody. There's the link I was actually looking for. This is a page on scottfox.com, work with Scott. If you want to work with Scott, you don't have to. It's just an offer. So, all right, Anna, well, great. Well, we'll have you come back and pitch in a few minutes, but nice to see you, and I hope that was helpful, and everybody else as well. Please look in the chat room as well. There's some clever things showing up there, like my friend Steven's saying, 2 cents about problem, solution, market size. These are all good ideas for sure. And here's a good question, good follow-up question. Well, let me put that up from Steven here. Hold on. There we go. Okay, well, Steven has a good comment here in the chat room. It's a little too long to show the whole thing on the screen, but that's a rough outline for how one pitches. Problem, solution, market size, and traction. And market size is that numbers thing, right? And then that's a great point. Leave the door open to listen. Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you, Steven. I hear everybody's talking, right? And then I'm talking back at you because we have a time-constrained situation. In the real world, you definitely want to leave room to breathe and listen, because the thing you ask for or the feedback you get may not be what you expected, and it's really valuable. You know, investors rarely say no because we're greedy. We're always looking like we don't want to annoy anybody. Like Anna there, you know, like, oh, you know, I don't think I want to do that deal, but I'm not going to say no because maybe she's going to come back and create the next Google, right? So they never really say no. So you have to listen very carefully to what they are saying. So they might say maybe later, or come back when you have this, or et cetera, et cetera. And you try to read between the lines of what they're really saying, because a no is a rare thing, and it's a blessing, actually. If somebody actually just says no, then that means you can move on. That's a good thing. Let's see. I saw another comment here I wanted to put up, but I can't find it. Okay. Oh, there it was. This from St. Bonaventure again. Does your board of directors count as traction? That's a really great point, because the board of directors, I think it could count as traction. Why not? The idea is to have anything that shows it's more than you. So if you have advisors, that shows it's more than you. Even better than advisors, of course, because the first question an investor will ask, if you come to me and say, hey, I have this idea, blah, 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 and I have these people as advisors, I mean, great. That's great. They're a very impressive group. She looks like she knows what she's doing. I'm glad that she's interested. How much money has she put in? That's the next question. Advisors are great. Investors are even better. So just be ready for that question. You can't expect every advisor to invest, but if they do, it's a much stronger signal to us investors that there really is something going on. Okay, so that was Anna's question. All right, let's go back to another pitch. Wow, we're an hour in already. We've got to move a little faster here. Thank you all for being here. Let's go to Sean. I think is Sean still backstage? Let's see who we've got. Sean. Yeah, there's Sean. Sean, let's test your microphone though first, my friend. All right, if it's. Hey. Yeah, it's doing that same thing though. We had this trouble last month, didn't we? You've been here before, I remember. Yeah. Well, you can talk a little more. Yeah, it's echoey, and I'm sorry, Sean. I really would be happy to work with you, but it's not the right format when we've got people waiting, and I think it's. Yeah, that's a shame. I know you're around. I see you on my socials and stuff. I thank you for your support. Buy a microphone, man, or get, you know, a headset thing. Whatever you're using is I know a little bit about audio. It's bringing in the whole room, so you're using some kind of speaker thing. You need a targeted microphone. And this is one of my favorite recommendations to anybody that watches this show very often will remember that I often talk about this. This is what I use. This is a Blue Yeti microphone. This is a podcasting microphone. I think it's about $100, so it's not cheap, but hopefully you can hear me and the sound is good, because it makes a difference. There are literally studies that show if people can hear you better, they think you're smarter. And that's kind of silly, but it's a fact, especially in this virtual world we live in. A good microphone is worth the money. Okay, so let's move on, and I apologize again, Sean. Let's go to, Gia had a question, Joe had a question. Actually, you know what? Gia, sorry, getting lost here in my own notes. Dr. Kay was going to come back. Where's Kay? I know Kay will do a good pitch for us. Hey there. How are you, Kay?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you very much. Pleasure to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you. All right. So you want to pitch?
Sure. Should I just go ahead and do it?
Go ahead and do it.
Absolutely. So hi, everybody. Let's jump right into the exciting world of Jupyter's cheaper, better apps with Universal UI. I'm Jay. I'm the creator of Universal UI, and I am a doctor of engineering in the field of computational sciences. I have been in this industry for about 25 years. Based on what I have seen during all these years, if there's one problem that I want to solve to help a lot of people, that is going to be this one. Look, creating apps that cover larger markets can be prohibitively expensive. You need Android version, iPhone version, web version, Spanish version, Chinese version, Arabic version, Rasulai version, Rasulai version, version, you know, you name it. So you need a large and diverse tool that offers you. So what if the same version of your app just works natively on every platform? What if it can be customized to new locales without coding? And what if engineers with the same set of skills can do everything for you? Well, now that's the possibility using Universal UI, the world's first and only omnimedia application development technology. We are in beta stage. We have a market-ready product, and we have a couple of customers too. We are going to monetize our solution using tried and true open source business model that helps companies like Red Hat become billion-dollar companies. The base product is free. We are going to charge on the enterprise edition of the product, and additional revenue will come in using training certification program and consulting business. We are going to charge the enterprise edition $750 per unit, and the rest of the services are going to be the same as the standard market prices. We are in the thriving $700 billion software industry, and within that, $450 billion SaaS market. Companies like us have shown growth 10% annually at least, and we hope to bring in about $10 million in the first 2 years. We have few competitions, such as Google. All of us offer native solutions for mobile and browser. However, on top of that, we offer server-side programming. Our technology is easier to learn and needs less coding to work. So we are not really looking to go heads-on with Google. We are looking to work with them and become a part of them. So at this stage, we're asking for about $800 investment for our seed round, and thank you all very much for this.
Excellent. Very nice. Well, good to see you, and that was interesting and even getting better every time, I think. Nicely done. Quick note, at the end you said you want $800. I think you mean $800,000, so just make sure you make sure you say the rest. Okay, so that was very good. What I really liked, and everybody should take note of this, and please, again, your comments in the chat room are more than welcome. I'm not the only expert here. I know we've got people from all over the world here. It was very conversational, and a story. You kind of told a story, like, I'm this guy. You established your credibility and your qualifications, and there's this problem, and we're working towards solving it. It felt very comfortable, and you have a very nice style. And I say that because a lot of advice you see for pitches is tell a story, tell a story. And honestly, usually that advice is coming from people who want to consult and get you to pay them to create a story, right? But you had a natural story. And that is of interest to me and to investors, right? To hear that this is something you've experienced in your own life, you have expertise in this domain, and you're creating a product and a business out of it. That it just flowed nicely. So congrats on that. I think that was cool. Another rhetorical thing you did nicely was you asked questions and then you answered them yourself. So a lot of times people will come to a pitch. I see this all the time. They'll walk into a pitch and say, how many of you drink soda? And like, or, you know, how many of you drive an electric car? And only a few people raise their hands, and maybe they all drink soda and all drink electric car, but they don't want to be put on the spot like that, right? So if you ask a question, just answer it. Don't expect the audience is as excited about this as you are. So what you did is you say, wouldn't it be nice if this? Or can you imagine a world where that? And you kept going and told us what that world looked like. So I like that rhetorical device as well. And then more specifically, you had some numbers. Maybe you should put the market size stuff up nearer to the front because that helps orient things. Although at the same time, there's kind of a movement away from the TAM, SAM, SOM, total addressable market. You know, it's a zillion-dollar market, and we're going to this piece and then this piece. Everybody's heard that so many times now, and the market's a little more mature in SaaS, so that's not quite as trendy as it was. If you can start with more with, like, we think we can hit this market, I think it would save you time and be fine. I like specifically, and I think we talked about this last time, the unit economics. We're going to charge $750 for this, and then it's going to go up from there. Like, that's helpful, again, for everybody listening. Investors, we take every number you say, and we're doing equations in our head. As soon, you may not be a numbers person, but we are. And you say 750 in enterprise. What's the average size of an enterprise? Say 750. How often does it renew? Like, I'm trying to do those equations as soon as you give me some numbers. So that's good to have numbers, is my point. My only suggestion or a critique would be, I don't know what universal UI means. And it's obviously something near and dear to your heart. But I think you need at the beginning just a little more of like a specific example. When would this be used? And, you know, I guess Google does this and other people do it. And at the end, you said something about mobile apps. Like, okay, I'm kind of getting it, but. And to be fair, I'm taking notes and I'm doing other things, so I'm not as listening as closely as I would for real. But everybody's playing on their phones these days anyway. So anyway, at the beginning, if you can do a sentence or two, universal UI means this. Our you know, common use case for us is this. A customer like this does this, it takes this long, and it solves this problem. Like, just set the table a little bit, and then the rest is great. So that would be my suggestion.
That is very valuable and helpful. I appreciate it.
Oh, excellent. Well, nice to see you. That's cool. And making time from your car, too. Good to see you. Let's see if anybody in the chat room had anything. Who disagrees with me? Let's see. Okay, not much in the chat room there. Okay. All right, so I guess you passed. Good job. I know you've taken a lot of exams as a PhD guy. You're not scared of tests. So great. All right. Well, nice to see you. Hope to see you again soon. So that was Kay with a good pitch, I thought. And let's take a question or two and see who else wants to join us. Hey, speaking of joining us, why don't you guys tell your friends we're here? We're live on LinkedIn and YouTube and Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. And happy to have you and your friends here either now or for next time. And if you, by the way, if you're watching this in the replay later, you can post questions on YouTube or on LinkedIn and post the questions as comments and we'll try to help. Doesn't have to all be real time, although it's more fun this way, of course. Let me remind you, by the way, this session is being recorded and it's not professional or legal advice. You should consult your own professionals about your expertise, your specific situation. And there's a comment and linking in, and let's see here, what else? Hey, if you want me to come and speak in your town, I do a lot of public speaking, and I'm getting my travel schedule together for the next year, so if you'd like me to come and visit a startup conference in your town, I talk a lot about startups and angel investing and how to build startup ecosystems, that kind of stuff, be happy to consider that. And doesn't have to cost a lot, especially if you're someplace interesting. I might even come and do it for free. So happy to help if we can. Like I said, we're here just trying to help. All right, so let's go on to our next questions. I think we were going to talk to – oh, here's that offer today, by the way, from our sponsor. Let's talk to – is Gia and Joe, are you both still here? I know it's getting late for Gia. Let's talk – Joe, I know you're in my time zone, so let's bring Gia on and then, oh, there's Joe. Okay, so, hey, Joe, is it okay if we wait for a couple more minutes and let Gia go to bed?
Yeah, for
okay,
sure.
Okay, hang on. We'll come back then. Okay, Gia. So let's talk about your question. It was about location for your startup, huh?
Exactly. We are a team of three, and two of them based in the UK and one based in China. We don't know, like, what would be, like, the next step to have a company.
Yeah. I think it's a really good question, and it speaks highly of you and your entrepreneurial instincts to think about that, because you're not just focused on your own needs, but on the obviously the company's growth needs, but also the investors' needs. So there's a big difference depending on where your company is based. So I don't know how much of this you know. You can wave at me if I'm going too basic, but let me start at the beginning, if not for you, for other people that are watching. the company where the country where the company is based is the legal structure that will apply, right? So, in my guess would be the UK has. I don't know what Chinese law looks like. At least in America, as you probably know, people aren't real excited about doing business in China anymore, which is a shame, but that's how it is, right? So I think in general, if you want to raise money, you'd probably be better off in the UK, unless your money's going to come from China, right? So it's really about where your investors are. So as I mentioned earlier, United States investors, which is maybe not you, but just for everybody's background, U.S. investors, we're pretty constrained or limited to investing in U.S.-based companies because the tax code that the American government has means we get huge tax advantages. Like we can make, if a startup investment goes well and we hold it long enough, we can take like $5 or $10 million in profit and pay no tax on it. That just doesn't apply if we invest in the UK, China, or South Africa, or Chile, or anywhere else. So it really keeps American dollars onshore in America. So if you want to raise money from the United States, as I mentioned to somebody earlier, maybe it was Anna or somebody, no, it was Ketan and Nishan, you need to have a U.S. company, and that was generally a C corporation in Delaware, the U.S. state of Delaware. Every state in the United States has different laws, 50 of them. So Delaware is the one you want, and it's got to be a C corp. But if you're looking at the U.K., then it should be in U.K., and in China. So that's kind of the basics. So I don't know if that's helpful or you probably have a follow-up question.
Yes, that's really helpful. And that's a follow-up question, like, because like two of us, like we have customers, like many like for transport sector and customers are like traditional like players in the area that the air-powered platform could help them reshape their business. So we are somehow like a SaaS company in the future. So in that case, like, what would be like the potential for us to do next step, like in terms of choosing a location to set up the company? We know a bit about regulations, and we also received the grants from the UK.
Oh, so congratulations! Yeah, well, it sounds like you've got pretty good reason to be in the UK. The UK is obviously a very legitimate legal regime, well known, respected, understood. I don't know what the tax laws are like there, but probably okay, at least reasonable. But if you have customers worldwide, it does start to get tricky. I think you're doing the right thing by asking. I don't think we would have to get into a lot more specifics for me to be much more helpful. I think you need a real good set of attorneys. Find somebody that specializes in this stuff. Those people are expensive, unfortunately, but I think you're right to set this up properly. Of course, the other way is to just go and do it and then figure it out later, because a lot of times entrepreneurs can get really hung up in doing it properly, you know, with the right permits and business licenses and tax filings and the domicile of the corporation and getting all that. And you can spend a lot of time and money, and most of all, you spend all the enthusiasm and excitement you had just to get ready. And then you're kind of out of money and out of energy, and it's like, oh man, we it's perfect. We built this perfect house, but it's in the wrong country, right? Instead, sometimes, I don't know your situation, but it might be better, man, who cares? Just go fucking do it, right? Go sell some stuff, show that you can make some money, and then use that money to go to investors. Say, look, we got people all over the world buying this stuff. We need to raise like £1 million or £1 million like right now so we can fix all this, and then we're going to go to the moon, right? That's startup land, right? So that's not necessarily recommended, and I'm not saying it's perfect for you, but that's reality, right? What fixes all problems is customers buying from you. So if you can get a bunch of customers buying from you, yeah, you can probably figure the rest out later, and it might cost you twice as much, but at least then you have the money, hopefully, from revenue to fix those problems and hire those expensive lawyers. So as long as I'm not recommending you do anything unethical or illegal, like don't do anything stupid, but man, you know, having growth solves a lot of those other issues. And I've really seen this so many times, and I've even done it myself. You get so caught up in preparing, you never actually do the thing. And the doing the thing is what matters. Doing the thing is what raises money and allows you to grow to get to doing the next thing. So that's more just kind of personal strategic advice. I don't know if that's helpful, but that's the way I look
that's
at it.
That's really helpful, because I like your approach. That's a very practical approach. It helps me a lot.
Oh, great.
Thanks a lot.
Great. All right. Well, awesome. I'm glad that was helpful. Nice to meet you. Thanks for staying up late with us. I know it's late for you. Hope to see you again next time. And I look forward to hearing about his company. Hopefully, it'll just make a gazillion dollars. And then, you know, the lawyers are real happy when you show up that way, right? Because you've got the money and they're happy. They like complicated problems. So that can be a win-win as well. By speaking of that, if anybody needs attorneys, mostly in the United States, a lot of our viewers are United States, of course, but we have lots of relationships with Startup Council. This is the URL, if you haven't figured it out yet, startupcouncil.org. But we do recommendations and connections. We have sponsors and relationships with attorneys all over the world that specialize in venture capital, not lawyers who do divorce or car accidents, right? But people who really do this all day, every day. And they can be the best partners in the world because they know people and they know investors and they know other founders and they can make sure that the deals are structured right. I mean, my best recommendation for everybody is to find good attorneys. And if you need help with that, that's fine. And they can make introductions, right? Because they know all the VC firms, right? If you hire the right people and you've got something going on, they can help. So first is attorneys and then would be accountants as well. We also have, of course, we have web design and software developers and HR firms, anything you'd like. We're happy to try to help if you need an introduction. You can use the contact form at that website and just email us and we'll try to get back to you and refer you to somebody that could be helpful to you. That's what we're doing here. We're here to help. Okay, so that was Gia from, I guess he was in London, somewhere in the UK anyway. So let's go to Joe. Joe had a question, and then we'll come back to Anna for her pitch, and I think we'll be about finished. So where'd Joe go? Here's Joe. Joe's been very patient. Hello, Joe. Nice to see you.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So your question was about studios, right? So what are you thinking?
Yeah, so, you know, right now it's like I'm at a stage where I want to build the team, not just grab a bunch of capital. You know, of course, getting capital is the easy way because, you know, you throw a bunch of money at contractors and they'll do the job for you. But I'm more interested in building, you know, a trustworthy team, you know, perhaps equity based. And so it's like there's a couple of different routes to go. There's, of course, you know, you find, of course, trustworthy friends. You know, if you have some people in different organizations you're already part of. So for me, that would be university. Or there's also kind of this more gaining popularity venture studio model. And so I wanted to learn, you know, about that, as well as like other potential local organizations around, you know, SoCal that I could potentially join and grow a team at.
Right. Okay. And is it a software company or what kind of venture is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I
okay.
was need a technical.
Yeah. Okay.
Technical support.
Okay. So it sounds like you've punched in the right buttons already. Teams are grown through relationships. I mean, you can hire recruiters to find people, but that costs money and you know, who knows, right? It's a whole thing. I think you're on the right track. The number one thing to do, honestly, is to go to events. Go to as many events as you can because that's where you meet people face-to-face. And those can be virtual events as well. You know, if you can get into a chat room like this one and post what you need, I would be as specific as possible as often as you can because you just never know what the universe is going to bring to you. But if you don't say anything, the universe can't bring you anything. So LinkedIn can be great for this kind of thing. Here in Orange County, the Orange County Startup Council, you probably know probably how you heard about this, but we post if you have a job opening or even just a request, we'll be happy to publish something for you as long as it looks legit and it's not some kind of spammy, weird sales thing, you know. But we post you know, sometimes when people are looking for jobs, we post talent available or, you know, if we post actual job openings all the time, if that's helpful. The main thing I would do if you haven't already is to join some organizations. And organizations like the Startup Council, of course, but also anything you mentioned to your university. So I don't know if you're a UCI or Chapman or Cal State Fullerton or something grad or wherever you did go to school, and this is true worldwide. Every university that I talk to these days has some kind of incubator or accelerator program and or an entrepreneurship club at least, and you can get out there and join those and not just attend, but get involved. Like, you know, volunteer an hour or two to help them organize their next conference. The way you build relationships is by sharing experiences. And it's one thing to share a beer, which is great, but it's another to work on stuff together and really build relationships. And organizations can be a really good way to do that. Another way is through podcasts and YouTube channels like mine, leaving comments on programs that are addressing topics like you're concerned about. Who's going to read that stuff? Other people that are interested in the same things you are. It's really about finding people with similar values and interests, I think, and signing up for those newsletters and participating. That's kind of big picture. Is that helpful? You want to be more specific?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm building like an insurtech company that would pretty much help your broker do a better job instead of competing with or the standard market protocol going through the messy process of sorting through a bunch of insurance brokers to get a better deal on specifically workers' comp insurance. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people to help. Of course, chief technical officer would be the fancy term for it. And so now that the universe knows.
Yeah, there you go.
I appreciate your insight on the events. I saw you at SoCal Startup Day and I found out about this event. Another question, do we have time? Because I know we're on a little bit of time.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I know you mentioned that, it's kind of a myth to, find investors for a company that doesn't have, it's just an idea. And so leading from that is that you need traction. And the traction you mentioned today that's necessary is people kind of like signed up for your white paper or, people that have signed up for maybe a beta test. Can you tell me a little bit about what you would want to see and what kind of numbers I could focus on bringing to people like you?
Sure. That's a great question. So happy to do that. Let me back up a little back on your previous point, though, the need for technical help. You said something that is a little bit dangerous and for you and for everybody else. If you're looking for a technical partner, that's perfectly understandable and reasonable. It's hard to do. Most software engineers are fully engaged these days, so unless you've got cash, they're getting paid real well elsewhere. But what you said specifically that I wanted to note was you're looking for a chief technical officer. That may be what you have in your mind. I would not use that title because there can only be one chief technical officer. If you find somebody you want to partner with, I would date before you get married. Giving out chief titles means that there's no room for upside unless you stop being the CEO. I'm presuming you're the founder CEO, right? So when you're looking for partners, I would be careful. I would start with small projects, get to know each other. Any kind of equity that you'd be talking about should be given over time with vesting and milestones, and then give them a title like VP or even senior VP of technology. But once you give the chief thing, you can't take it back, and you can't hire somebody over them without causing trouble later. So just be careful about that. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Is that useful? I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah, that was super helpful. I had an experience around that too.
Yeah.
It's good to have vesting equity and, of course, know the person that you're working with. Make sure you trust them.
Yeah, and then what was your other question? Sorry, I got distracted by myself.
No worries. It's what sort of concrete data?
Oh, traction.
Customer validation.
Okay. Anything. The problem is that so many founders, there's this myth that you can raise money with just good ideas. And while that may have been easier back during Web 1.0, it was never as easy as the media makes it, right? They cover that kind of story just like they cover lottery winners, one in a billion, right? I was there at Web 1.0. I raised my first venture round in 1997. We still had business plans and projections and a crap load of due diligence. Ideas are tough to raise money for. So the idea is anything is better than nothing, right? It's 0 to 1. So anything you've got puts you in the next level. So what have you got? Anything. I mean, like somebody said earlier, you have some board of advisors. Okay, that's good. Have you talked to any customers? No. Well, that's not good. I've talked to 10 customers. Great. How about 100 customers? Even better. 1,000 customers? Even better. How interested were they? 2% interested, not so good. 10%, better. 50%, even better. You've talked to 1,000 companies and 85% of them want to buy? Very nice, right? So it's up to you. It's a sliding scale, but you got to tell me a story. Investors invest in it's pattern recognition, right? We want to see patterns that we've seen before, and that is person with an idea goes out in the world, and people like the idea, and then they buy from him. So what can you show me that starts to look like that trend, right? It's not individual dots. It's a line. Like how many points can you show me? And even if they're small, you don't have any money. That's what people say, I have no money. Okay, well, do you have $10? go buy $10 worth of Google or Facebook ads around the keywords of your offer and see if anybody clicks. And then you got something, right? Hopefully, you know, you got a good click-through rate. At least that's something. Because if you've done nothing but talk to yourself and your mom who's going to support you, you don't really have a business. Businesses are based around customers. So if you've talked to a bunch of customers, that's the easiest, freest, cheapest way to build traction. I've talked to 87 customers, and 90% of them want to buy. Okay, that's starting to sound like a thing. So hopefully you get the idea. Something, anything.
Yeah. Well, I was a commercial insurance broker, so, you know, I made 100 calls a day.
Right.
So, you know, probably talked to about, you know, 5,000 conversations.
Excellent.
I'd estimate about 20% of them are, like, the ideal customer for us.
Excellent. Well, that's great, man. So you're not afraid to do that. And a lot of founders are. So, yeah, if you can beat the phones or you can do it digitally if you're a shy person, you know, you can buy Google Ads, like I said. But that's what it is. Anything is better than nothing. And the more you have, the better. Of course, it really comes down to money. So people may still put you off until you have, you know, real VC firms these days, they want at least $1 million in annually recurring revenue before they even really talk to you. That's a pretty high bar, right? If you're doing $1 million in recurring revenue, maybe you don't need the VC, right? VC money is very expensive. So looking at other ways to find traction, being creative about it is the challenge, I think, that all founders face these days at the pre-seed stage. So I hope that's helpful. Nice to see you. And we'll see if we'll check in the chat room, see if some other people have some ideas as well. And that was Joe. Nice to meet him. Let's just review the chat here. And okay, what do we got? So Andre says, well, you guys can see the chat, I think. But well, let's go with Stevens here. Steven has a good point. Get an advisory board of people from the industry. Yeah, date first. Yeah, don't ask them to invest right away, but get them excited and build the relationship. And advice, yeah, be careful of the advice. Yeah, that's good words of wisdom there. Andre's suggesting difficult to build, and this even more importantly. Yeah, a lot more people with ideas than people can actually build the product. That's right. Great point. A lot of non-technical founders looking for technical founders. Yeah, just for what it's worth, I get questions like this. I'm trying to do some numbers in my head. I'd say 90%, maybe even 95% of the time when I get questions like this, it's non-technical founders looking for engineers and developers. I almost never hear engineers and developers looking for ideas. So that gives you some idea of the demand relationship here and leads to this point, which is a stack of cash or a bunch of stock and a big title. So it's a negotiation, right? Do the best you can and work your way through it. Okay, so let's see who's still in the still here. I think we're probably wrapping up. Hopefully Anna's still here. Let's see. Anna wanted to pitch, but she's in Serbia. We should have gotten to her earlier. I'm sorry about that, Anna. She might have had to leave. Yep. Looks like she's there. Sorry. Anna, yes, okay. She's up late. I just realized it's late for you, right? Well, what, like 10:30 or something like that?
Yes, we do.
10:30
p.m.
Okay, not too bad. Better than the guys from India. Okay. All right.
Yes,
all right. So you want to give us
a
couple of minutes of pitch?
Yes. I will be very quick because it's so late. My idea is to develop, we are developing the platform for writing and reading romance novels. Romance novels, romance industry is huge. It's in 2023, it was almost $20 billion dollars, and by 2027, it's projected to be almost $30 billion. So it's huge. And there are those bite-sized romance novel publications, and there is a problem there. Anyone can write a novel, and some, for instance, Hungarian girls who doesn't speak English very well, and she writes a perfect novel, and she hooked me up to read, but her language is so bad and it's difficult to read. Mm. So what I'm solving here, I'm using the AI, I'm using the ChatGPT and Gemini to help the writers write in their native language and to readers to read in their native language. So I'm translating with the API,
in behind. And also it's eco-friendly, it's inclusive. So for instance, if someone is blind, they can use the Whisper API from the ChatGPT, and they can speak and write the novel. And of course, hearing them, not reading them. So basically, that's the general problem, general solution. Market is huge, competition is big, but the difference here with the competition is, other than with the games, here the competition doesn't want to kill you and continue working. Within the competition, I can commercialize, I can make my application visible there, because that's how it works. And then I can advertise within the other apps. Other apps are bought by Kakao Entertainment for almost $1 billion. That's Radish and Tapas applications. So you have, for example, when you talked about the numbers, imagine this in Radish application. You have one most readable romance novel. It has 528 million views. It has 128 seasons. Each season has almost 100 or around 100 episodes, and you need to unlock each episode per €1 to be able to read or to watch the advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also where is the money value. So basically, it's a huge market. So this is my idea, and so far I'm developing it, and I have found a few interested investors. I also have one investor that is investing, but we are stuck in financial projection, which is not where I'm very good. That's why I asked how to raise money. That's where my question came from,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know, and it's not possible to know how much the advertisement within the app will cost. 30 seconds of video advertisement within my app, how much will that gain me the money? But my competition mostly has monthly revenue 2 or 3 million of euros.
Oh, okay.
So it's a huge market.
Yeah.
There is a problem, I have a solution, and it's simple as that.
Okay. So that's very interesting. Obviously, this is a new idea, so you can practice in terms of the pitch, but you laid out a lot of very interesting things. So good job. That's hard to do. I'm not sure where to start. That's very interesting, and it's a market I don't know anything about, which is very interesting.
Of course. My target audience are women from teenage to, I don't have the limit up to the age, but it's not men. This is like a porn hub for women.
Yes, for
so
sure. Yeah.
There
you go.
Girls like to read.
Right. Yeah.
And men like to see, so
yep.
They're visual.
Right.
And girls like to see, and the 50 Shades of Grey, I don't know if you know those trivia, but
mm-hmm.
for 1 year, it was most searchable term on Google, what to read after 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, that's a great, okay, so tons of great information there. So it's going to take you some practice to squeeze that into a tight, you know, story that's, you know, in a 2-minute thing, but tons of interesting information there. That might be your hook right there at the end, meaning maybe you open with something like that. Did you know that the most popular thing on Google for years was what to read after 50 Shades of Grey? I mean, that's, I just made that up, right? But you said it. That might be a decent way to start, because the main problem you're going to have, and you've already had this, I'm sure, is middle-aged men investors aren't going to have no idea what you're talking about, and they may not believe you, right? Plus,
yeah.
Plus you're a woman, and a lot of men don't take women seriously anyway, which is crap, but that's the fact, right? And most investment dollars are controlled by, you know, middle-aged and older guys like me, right? So that's just how it is. So you need to figure out how to get their attention, and numbers is probably the way to do it, plus a little story. So you had some fascinating numbers in there, 128 seasons of stuff. One thing you said, it was €1 each. I didn't know whether you meant that was good or bad. So it would help to you know, do you think you could do it for more? No, sorry. Sorry. We don't have time for you to respond to everything. That would be a longer call, but I'm just giving you feedback, okay? So sorry, almost out of time. But just telling you, $1, which is cheap or which is expensive. So people have some idea where you're going with this, right? All the competition is making a lot of money. So you just figure out all those great numbers you said and write it down so there's a logical order to how do you present it, because it's a very interesting story, Anna, very interesting. I think you found something quite compelling. The pieces that are missing are why you, so you didn't say anything about you, and I'm sorry, again, we don't have time to go into the details. Like, I don't know if you're an AI expert or you're a romance novelist or both, like, but why you, why now? And that gets you into the competition, right? Like, who are the other people? Why do you think there's an opportunity here that someone big like Audible or Amazon or whoever's in Serbia isn't just going to Spotify, suddenly just going to add this, right? Or if they do add this, they would do it by buying you, right? Those are things to explore and that investors are going to want to know about. Some of the things you said are very interesting, like about how it's eco-friendly and it can help blind people. Very super cool. That's a small point of the presentation, right? And that's one of the first things you said. It's very nice, but that's not going to drive the business, unless your business is specifically that, right? Focus on the big points. There's big players, 128 seasons of this, the most searched thing on Google for years, and there's nobody supplying it like this. Like, show us how that model comes together and then why you're the one to do it and why now is the time to do that. And that will help string this together, I think. Sorry, I'm talking a lot, but this is kind of my job, I guess. The other thing I would say is you said several times, my idea is this, my idea is that. Stop saying that. It's not an idea. This is your business. If you talk about an idea, it sounds like this is some fantasy. Talk about just change your mindset and change the words. You're the CEO. My company does this. Same thing, right? But it sounds way better and it's free. So my company, we do this. We're the world leader in this. And we're doing it now. And this is the market. And, bang, bang, bang. So you can watch the replay of this later if you want on YouTube. Everything you said was very interesting and very cool. But just kind of rearrange it, tighten it up, and be more confident. And people will start to believe you. So I hope that's helpful. Any quick feedback? We don't have a ton more time here, but is that useful?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Well, I think we've got to move on, but I hope we'll see you again. That was very interesting to hear about that market, something I don't know about that one for sure. But romance novels, I'm a writer myself, as you know, with these books, but I know romance is huge, and I really like what you're doing there. That's interesting. I hope we'll hear from you again. Maybe you want to be one of the companies that comes and lists yourself on our sponsor, this National Startup Directory that we built that I was telling you about. You can go list there for free if you want. I don't know if you're ready for that, but anybody that's listening can list yourself there, and then maybe investors can find you. And speaking of that, the flip side of this, literally, we haven't talked about this today. This is a directory we built for you guys that is about 3,000 early stage startup investors, and you can search on 48 different categories and with keywords, and it's the most comprehensive investor database that I know. And you can check that out free. There's a code right there that you can see and try that for free as well. So none of them are very expensive anyway. We're just trying to cover the costs of building it. But these are services that I built because people kept asking me, how do I find investors? And how can I get investors to know who I am? So that's literally these two businesses. I hope they're helpful to you guys. All right. So that's kind of what we've got for today. We're an hour and a half in, and that probably is going to do it for me. Let me check the chat room and make sure there's nothing on fire. And some good tips for everybody. I hope you guys will all go and look in the watch the replay and check the chat room if you didn't keep up. I didn't. I'll go and look at the chat again later. And I hope that you have enjoyed yourself and are here because you want to do the right thing and build something cool to share with the world. Please tell your friends. Please like and subscribe and comment. Even one comment can make a difference in terms of getting YouTube's algorithms and the LinkedIn algorithms and Facebook to show this stuff more. And we're here to help. So please do go and join the Startup Council and sign up for all the services we have there because we're trying to help you. So thanks for watching. I'm Scott Fox from startupcouncil.org. And I hope to see you again next month. This is every month on the fourth Tuesday at the same time, all across different social media, and hope to see you there. And if you have follow-up questions, like I said earlier, go ahead and post them on LinkedIn or YouTube, and we'll try to get back to you and help you out. Thanks for watching. Hope to see you again soon. Good luck with whatever it is you're building. Thanks for being here.